Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Brahma, who was born of a material source, but of the lotus flower coming out of the navel abdomen of the Lord, he is the creator of all those who are materially born. Of course, by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to see the form of the Lord. Purport. The first living creature, Brahma, is called Aja because he did not take his birth from the womb of a mother materially born. He was directly born from the bodily expansion of the lotus flower of the Lord. Thus, it is not readily understandable whether the body of the Lord and that of Brahma are of the same quality or different. This must also be clearly understood. One thing is, however, certain. Brahma was completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord because after his birth, he could create living beings by the Lord's grace only, and he could see the form of the Lord. Whether the form seen by Brahma is of the same quality as that of Brahma is a bewildering question, and Maharaj Parikshit wanted to get clear answers from Srila Shukadev Goswami. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The verse again. Brahma was not born of a material source, but of the lotus flower coming out of the navel abdomen of the Lord, is the creator of all those who are materially born. Of course, by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to see the form of the Lord. So, this chapter is entitled Questions by Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was the perfect listener. And this is what one aspect that makes Srimad Bhagavatam such a great literature. He was, in fact, the perfect listener. And one of the symptoms of one who is very tuned in to listening attentively is that they will have very relevant, pertinent, and excellent questions. And Parikshit Maharaj, he was completely tuned in, completely focused on every word that Shukadev Goswami was speaking. And it is said, you know, there are different types of listeners. One type of listener is the sun goes in here, it comes out the other side. The other type of listener, it goes in here, it touches, but nothing really much happens. And the third type of listener, it goes in here, it touches the heart, it stirs the heart, and all types of emotions and questions arise. That's the type of listener we'd like to be. And Parikshit Maharaj was that listener. So in this chapter, the majority of this chapter is about Parikshit's questions. All the way from verses 7 to 23 in this chapter are various questions raised by Parikshit Maharaj. And it's a range of questions, but essentially the first few questions from questions number 7 to 11, he's asking questions about the Lord and the Jiva. When we ask questions about the Lord and the Jiva, it means relationship. And we know that relationship is sambandha. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained three aspects of philosophy: sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. Sambandha means relationship. Abhideya means goal. No, process. Abhideya means process. And prayojan means the goal. So this is the starting aspect of any spiritual understanding, to understand the relationship. And then in the second half of the questions, from 11 to 23, he's asking various questions about kala, karma, so many questions he's asking. But what we notice is some devotee scholars who have studied these questions from 7 to 11, they have analyzed that from this canto all the way till the end of canto number 7, Shukadev Goswami is explaining. So you'll see a lot of these questions are explained. So this is forming the basis for quite a significant part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes when we read these questions, we want to just skim over them. He's asking. But actually, it all starts with the question. When we really understand and we're able to assimilate the question, then when the answers come, there is a connection we feel. And that's how we try to read and study Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and Parikshit Maharaj's questions were so wonderful that he was praised by Sri Shukadev Goswami. In the very first statement that Srila Shukadev Goswami makes when he starts to speak, he says, Varayan Esha Tu Prashnan Krita Lokam Itanirpa Atmavit Samata Pumsha Shrota Vyadyusyu Yat Paraha. He said, my dear king, your questions are glorious because it is beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject of hearing. So such excellent questions by Parikshit Maharaj. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport here is very, very interesting. Normally when we see and we hear Srila Prabhupada's purports and statements, they're very emphatic, unequivocal. This is how it is. It's an absolute truth. And this is what he's explaining. But here Srila Prabhupada explains or says that thus it is not readily understandable whether the body of the Lord and that of Brahma are of the same quality or different. And then he goes on to say whether the form seen by Brahma is of the same quality as that of Brahma is a bewildering question. Now, ordinarily, we wouldn't consider that to be a bewildering question. You know, we'd say, Lord is the Lord. He has a spiritual form. Lord Brahma, we know his form is not spiritual. Because when Hiranyakashipu asked him, please make me immortal, what was Lord Brahma's response? Even I have to die. So how can I make you immortal? So generally we consider that this is almost like a cut and dry thing. Lord's form is spiritual, Lord Brahma's form is material. But Srila Prabhupada is saying that this is very bewildering. Now that bewildered me. Because obviously I'm missing something here. We are missing something here because why is it so bewildering? That itself is quite bewildering. There are different reasons why. I was thinking to myself, okay, it's so bewildering, but why is it bewildering? What can be some of the reasons why it can be so bewildering? And I'd like you to think about this. I would vouch some reasons that I considered, but maybe many learned devotees are in this audience. You can also consider. You'd like to say, Prabhu? Yes, yes. So Prabhu is saying is, we wouldn't ordinarily expect, if something is coming from something spiritual, that would be spiritual. Just like us, our fathers were material, mothers were material, so our body is material. So Brahma, he had no material mother and father. He was born of the lotus flower of the Lord. So we think his form would also be spiritual. So that's one reason. And I'll read one aspect of chapter 8 of the third canto, which explains the whole process by how the stem comes out and how Lord Brahma manifests. And just reading that, we will get an idea why it could also be so bewildering. Prabhu, you wanted to say something?
I understood from Prabhupada's voice from the spiritual comes both, all the DNA for Brahma comes, like from us, only half. But all of his physical DNA was given both sides from Vishnu. Is there anything in that we only have half and half, but all of his DNA, though it was, which is material but superhuman, was so both all the 46, all the chromosomes was given directly from Vishnu.
Okay, that's one aspect. We'll come back to it as part of the explanation. So let me give some reasons I considered why it should be very bewildering. And I'll start off by reading how Lord Brahma actually manifests, how the lotus flower manifests. Because even that bewildered my mind, because it's just so out of this world. So this is from the third canto, the eighth chapter, chapter entitled The Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu. Now, if any of you can clearly understand how this is manifesting, please share with us. So this is from text number 12. I'll just read the English. The Lord lay down for 4,000 yuga cycles in his internal potency, and by his external energy he appeared to be sleeping within the water. When the living entities were coming out for further development of their fruitive activities, actuated by the energy called Kala Shakti, he saw his transcendental body as bluish. The subtle subject matter of creation, of which the Lord's attention was fixed, was agitated by the material mode of passion. And thus the subtle form of creation pierced through his abdomen. So there's certain things happening here. There is a desire or time, and the living entities are needing to manifest, because the living entities go into a sleeping state for a certain period of time, and then they are manifest again. So Kala is causing some activation. And according to this verse, it's activating the material mode of passion. And then that's activating the living entities to start to come up. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And all of this agitation is causing a subtle form of creation. And this is piercing through the abdomen of the Lord. Piercing through the sum total form of the fruit of activity of the living entities took the shape of a bud of a lotus flower generated from the personality of Godhead. So all of these different things that are happening created a bud. And by supreme will, it illuminated everything. Like the sun. So that this one bud seems to have caused a huge illumination. Like the sun, and dried up the waters of the vast devastation. So devastation is taking place by partial devastation by waters. He dried up everything. Brahma, born out of the lotus flower, could not see the world, although he was situated in the world. He therefore circumambulated all of space, and while moving his eyes in all directions, he achieved four heads in terms of the four directions. So this is how some description given about how the bud manifested, the lotus flower manifested, and Lord Brahma. Now there's so many things happening there that itself is completely bewildering to understand how this creation is taking place. So that is one aspect. The other aspect is Lord Brahma's form material or spiritual? We need to understand in which Shakti is Brahma. There is Antaranga Shakti, there is Tatastha Shakti, and there is Bahiranga Shakti. Antaranga Shakti is the external energy. Tatastha Shakti is the marginal energy. Marginal, and Bahiranga Shakti is the external energy. So the Tatastha Shakti, or Lakshana, the marginal energy, can fall in alignment with the Antaranga Shakti or the Bahiranga Shakti. So it can be either. Now, to make it even more complicated, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to the first canto, third chapter, first verse, that sometimes there is not a qualified jiva who is tatastha lakshan to take the position of Lord Brahma. And Prabhupada explains, in that situation, who becomes Lord Brahma? The Lord himself. So, this Brahma could be spiritual or material, dependent on what type of Brahma is taking. So it's bewildering. Then there's another aspect to consider, whether his form is spiritual or material. Prabhupada explains that the devotee of the Lord, the spiritual master, the pure devotee, one should never mistake the form of the pure devotee to be material. The form of the pure devotee is spiritual. And there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that explains that very clearly. One should never consider the form of the pure devotee to be material. Now someone may say, but how can that be? We can see he's aging. We can see he goes to the bathroom. How can we say his form is spiritual? Prabhupada gives an analogy to explain this. He says, if we take an iron rod, an iron rod is iron. If you take that iron rod and you hold it in fire for a long time, that iron rod no longer becomes iron, but it becomes fire. It emits heat and it emits light. And we no longer consider that iron rod to be iron, but it's now fire. So in the same way, the spiritual master, the pure devotees, they are under the Shuddha-sattva. Shuddha-sattva, the modes of pure goodness. And by dint of their execution of pure devotional service, their bodies are considered to be spiritual. Now we know, we can never readily say how advanced a particular devotee is. Because bhakti is a very internal process, isn't it? Among ourselves here, we can be sitting among some very advanced devotees whose bodies can be considered to be spiritual. So in the same way, Lord Brahma, can we know his consciousness? Can we know his consciousness? It is explained that Lord Brahma meditated for 100 years, and Prabhupada says after that meditation, immediately he wrote this Brahma Samhita. This Brahma Samhita. And we know that this Brahma Samhita is a very, very transcendental book. So this Lord Brahma, how do we know whether his form is material or spiritual? We would never know. Because we do not know how advanced he is. So in this way, we can understand or get some inclination about why Srila Prabhupada says, this is a very bewildering question. Is Lord Brahma's form the same as the Lord, or is it different? So I considered these few points and I thought, maybe that's why Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is a very bewildering question. Whether the Lord's, Brahma's form is the same as the Lord or not. But dear devotees, you can also share at the end some realizations you may have about this particular statement, about why it's so bewildering. Now the second part of the purport which I'd like to comment on, which is very insightful, relevant for us, is Prabhupada says that Brahma, one thing is however certain, that Brahma was completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. For two reasons he was completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And that is for the purposes of creation and for the purposes of seeing the Lord. Now this aspect of being completely dependent on the Lord, this consciousness is very, very important. Very, very important for us. In any endeavor we make on this path of bhakti, whether it is in executing an instruction we receive, in carrying out a service that we are given, in fulfilling a desire we may have on the path of bhakti, we should always feel completely dependent on Krishna. We just need to feel completely dependent on Krishna. Now, it happens to many of us on this path. we often forget how dependent we are on Krishna. But we can see from the lives of the great devotees of the Lord that they are never in a situation where they do not consider themselves dependent. The perfect example is Parikshit Maharaj himself. He received the curse that he was going to die in 7 days. And how did he respond or react to this curse? He just gave up all of his royal regalia to his son. He put on a kopin and he walked to the bank of the river Ganges and he sat down. And at that point, he depended on Krishna. He didn't go thinking, okay, who am I going to find? Who's going to instruct me? Let me take some advice who I'm going to find. Let me now go find that person. Let me go and ask. He simply sat down. And he depended on Krishna to send him that personality who would instruct him on the path. And we can see that dependence on Lord Krishna resulted in Shukadev Goswami. And throughout the Bhagavatam, we see this very clear consciousness of the pure and advanced devotees. In every step of their life, they are dependent on Krishna. Recently in our Bhagavatam classes, our daily Bhagavatam classes, we were reading about Uttara. How Uttara was once in a situation, difficult situation, where the Brahmastra weapon was coming towards her to kill the unborn child within the womb, Parikshit. And at that point, she ran towards Krishna. And she ran towards Krishna and she said, Krishna, please protect this unborn child within my womb. And then she added, if you so desire. If you so desire. Meaning that Krishna, I am completely dependent on you. I am completely dependent on you. If you so desire, you can choose to protect me or kill me and the baby within my womb. And we see this consciousness very, very clear in the life of Srila Prabhupada also. In the Lilamrita, we read about Srila Prabhupada's life. And we read one part of his life when he was a child. And he and his sister, Bhavatarini, were flying a kite. And Prabhupada says how they were praying to Krishna to allow this kite to fly nicely. And even when Srila Prabhupada went, throughout his life, he was always depending on Krishna to direct him. And he says how originally he was writing Back to Godhead magazine. He was not thinking that he's going to translate the Srimad Bhagavatam. But one day someone came to him and said, Swamiji, you are writing these magazines, they won't have much impact. If you want to have real impact, you should write big books. Why don't you translate the Srimad Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna is directing me and I'll depend on Krishna to facilitate me. When Srila Prabhupada wanted to start deity worship, Prabhupada never thought, so now I'm going to implement deity worship within ISKCON. One day, Malati and another disciple came with these little Jagannath dolls. And they showed Srila Prabhupada, these are the dolls, are they of any significance? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, they are Jagannath Swami. From today, we shall worship. And he had Jagannath, Lord Jagannath carved. And you see, throughout Srila Prabhupada's life, there is this trend, this consciousness of complete dependence on Krishna. Even when he wrote his poem in the Jaludutta, he says to Krishna, he prays, he says, I'm like a puppet in your hands. They have designated me as Bhaktivedanta, but I have no qualifications. How they are steeped in the modes of passion and ignorance. How will they be changed? If you so desire, you can change them. So this mood of complete dependence is very important aspect of our consciousness. We can speak a lot about that, but I just want to touch on one other aspect, and that is the ability to see Krishna. It is said Lord Brahma, he had the opportunity to see Krishna. And in the Bhagavatam chapter 8, it explains how that first seeing of the Lord manifested. Do any of you all know how Brahma first saw the Lord? We know that he was on the lotus flower. And then he heard tapa, tapa. And he couldn't understand where this was coming from, who it was coming from. He climbed all the way down from the stem. He looked at the waters that was flowing there. He couldn't see anyone. He climbed up again. And he was trying to understand how he would see the Lord. So how he first saw the Lord is described in the Bhagavatam, in the 8th chapter of the 3rd canto. And it is said that Lord Brahma, he meditated for 100 Brahma years. That's 4,300,000 times 1,000. That's 1,000 cycles of the four kalpas. So at the end of Brahma's 100 years, when his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge. And as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with the greatest endeavor. So the first opportunity of darshan he had was called antar darshan, the darshan within the heart. And then after that, he saw the Lord lying in his described hour. And actually, that is displayed by me. He says this in his Brahma Samhita. He explains how the devotee's darshan of the Lord manifests. And that's the famous verse. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadeva ridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Ui shama sundar. Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Now this is relevant because sometimes we wonder, when will I have the first darshan of Krishna? And how will I have the first darshan of Krishna? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, I'll quickly read the purport and I'll stop. The Shyama Sundara form of Krishna is his inconceivable, simultaneous, personal and impersonal, self-contradictory form. True devotees, I'll read it again. True devotees see that form in their purified hearts under the influence of devotional trance. The form of Shyama is not the blue color visible in the mundane world, but it is the transcendental variegated color affording eternal bliss and is not visible to the mortal eye. On a consideration of the trance of Vyasadeva, as in the shloka Bhakti Yoga Na Manasi, it will be clear that the form of Sri Krishna is the full personality of Godhead and can only be visible in the heart of a true devotee. See, this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is saying, that Sri Krishna is the full personality of Godhead and can only be visible in the heart of a true devotee, which is the only true seat in the state of trance under the influence of devotion. So This is also another very big subject matter. I'll just plant it as a seed for thought, which you can take away from today's session and explore and discuss among yourselves. And then maybe at another opportunity we can discuss it in more detail. It's way past half past. I should stop now. So I'll stop and I'll take any questions, comments, or reflections that anyone may have. Yes, Prabhu.
I was just thinking about that, whether the Lord Brahma's body is spiritual or... So I was thinking about how everything is ultimately one energy, it's Krishna. He's everything, he's all spiritual.
Yes.
And then from Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, down and down and down, everyone gets more and more covered or more forgetful of Krishna, and their materialism increases as you come down. But it's all ultimately spiritual energy.
Very good point. Actually, ultimately everything we can say is spiritual. Something can only be considered material based on our consciousness. Based on our consciousness. So that's a very good point. Thank you, Prabhu, for that. Any other comments, questions, or reflections? No? Yes, Prabhu.
What was the point where Lord Brahma heard Krishna's flute?
At what point did he hear Krishna's flute?
Yeah.
I'm not sure because he said that he got the Gayatri from Krishna's flute. According to the Bhagavatam, the 8th chapter of the 3rd canto, he first saw the Lord in his Gaurbhak Dakshayi Vishnu form. And he had that vision of the Lord, brilliant description in this chapter. So how he saw Krishna and when he saw Krishna, I'm not entirely sure, but he received the Gayatri, or he said the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's described, I think, in some respects in the Brahma Samhita. It's described here, but I can't recall offhand. Maybe someone else can remember. Yes, Prabhu.
After a long time of recollection, Bhaktisiddhanta uses this word, recollection. He realized that he was a maidservant of Krishna.
Okay.
And at that time, all the truths of the Vedas were given to him, realized by him. So it seems it took him a while.
Yes.
Maybe it happened later.
Okay. I'm just looking at the Brahma Samhita. It says here, on coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions. But he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Then the goddess of learning, Sarasvati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, O Brahma, this mantra, namely Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. So according to Brahma Samhita, it seems that he got the Gayatri. He heard that around that point of time. It probably is there in the Brahma Samhita anyway. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Hare Krishna. Mic for...
Hare Krishna. I wonder what is how does your perception of yourself, which is not necessarily yourself, is your material body, which is comprised of the eight elements. You know, what our relationship with that or our understanding of that? How does that affect the way we see the rest of creation and also the you know, the transcendental sphere? I mean,
the more we are associated ourselves with the body, you know, the different elements of the body, the more our vision will be materially tainted. We see it from a certain angle, okay? And the more Krishna conscious we are, the more we are on the platform of Shuddhasattva. Then we see everything as spiritual. Like the pure devotees, they see everything spiritual because they see everything as being connected with Krishna. Whereas one who has got material vision, meaning contaminated by the three modes of material nature, then our vision of the world or everything we see and experience is different. So it depends on... Our vision is dependent on our consciousness. Yeah. I don't know if that answered your question.
It does, yes. Thank you.
Sorry, Prabhu? Would you like to explain, Prabhu? Yeah, Atmavan?
Maybe Adiguru can explain. Atmavan manyate jagat.
All right.
Okay. You see the world the way you are.
Yeah.
The way
yeah. You see others as you are. That's what Vishwambar Prabhu is saying. You see others as you are. So if you are in material consciousness, you'll see everything in material consciousness. If you're in spiritual consciousness, everything is spiritual. Yes.
There's a description as a sadhaka goes through all the different stages. His body is partly material and partly spiritual. There's an in-between.
In-between stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it proportionate increases, gradually becomes fully spiritualized.
Yes. And many of us are experiencing that in our spiritual lives. Sometimes we see everything spiritual and sometimes the material consciousness envelops us. David Prabhu, you had a... Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
My question is in terms of... You mentioned about a pure devotee, and I think in terms of Lord Brahma, that he's the head of the Sampradaya, so he's considered our spiritual master.
Yes.
So would it even be offensive for us to think of him as material?
Would it be offensive of us to think of him as material? In the same way, it's offensive of us to think of our spiritual master. Yes, we shouldn't like... There is one sampradaya. They do not even want to consider the discussions of the Brahma Vibhohana Lila because they feel that's offensive. They completely pass that Lila. But way we see it is we never think of Lord Brahma. He's the head of our sampradaya. We never think of him in a lesser way because if there is any instance in the life of Lord Brahma where there are some apparent flaws, we can see it as some part of a lila, some part of the lila. So yes, we should never look down whenever we read any aspects of Lord Brahma's life. Look down upon Lord Brahma because he is the head of our sampradaya. And we should always consider Lord Brahma in the topmost way. Yes, Prabhuji.
Krishna consciousness to this level I'm at, which was one, what you mentioned, is that everything is spiritual. And Prabhupada says that the top devotees can associate with demons or with devotees, but not the middle ones. And like Jesus could associate with demons and devotees. And people like me thought, well, does that mean I can as well? And I soon found out I couldn't.
We all find out like that.
And the second point is, in reading Prabhupada's wonderful... Vyasadeva-like purports, I didn't understand until a certain point that he was seeing things from a different angle of vision. From Goloka, or from the spiritual sky, he was looking down on this universe. And that we're brought up as like the frog in the well, just to see the well, but not the whole ocean. So I wasn't fully understanding what he was saying, because he was seeing it from a different point of view where he came from.
Yes.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Just my experiences.
Thank you for sharing that. Prabhu, you had a question or comment?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thanks so much for the nice class. I just had a small question based on a point you mentioned. You're mentioning in your class that Parikshit Maharaj, when after being cursed, he was sitting down on the banks of Yamuna and just kind of completely depending on the Lord to send someone, or someone got sent. So I was just wondering, like, what's the balance for ourselves, like, when we're in distress or something like that? We're on either depending on the Lord to send someone, or by our own endeavors go and seek for help and ask for that. Kind of, what's the healthy balance between that?
That's a very good question. Correct me if I'm wrong in your question. It probably is saying that sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations. Should we in that situation just completely dependent on Krishna, or should we also make some endeavor? And I think whether in making some endeavor it indicates any lack of dependence on Krishna. No. We know from the Damodar Leela that when that rope was 2 inches too short, the Acharya said that in all situations there is 2 considerations. One is our endeavor, and second is the mercy of Krishna. If we don't make that endeavor, simply say, we depend on Krishna. There was one temple president in America. He got completely fried with the devotees. They were thinking, I'll be completely surrendered. You know, they wouldn't put gasoline in the van, and then when the van stopped, oh, Krishna desired we break down. They'll forget to put books. And Prabhupada said, once someone asked Prabhupada, what does surrender mean? Prabhupada said, surrender means using your God-given intelligence. So you know, we should not be in this fanatical mode of, I just depend on Krishna. We depend and we also endeavor. But when we endeavor, we always consider that Krishna's mercy and Krishna's will is the predominating factor. And we always try to tune in, you know, via the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, via the Shastras, what is Krishna's desire here? And we depend on Krishna. So both are there. Endeavor has to be there. But Prabhupada says, endeavor with intelligence, or surrender with intelligence. Dependence with intelligence. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. So we consult Guru Sadashastra to find that thin line, right? Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. The result is up to Krishna, yes. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karma sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate. You know, in this society, when we have a whole society or a community where everyone is dependent on Krishna, then everything works beautifully. But when we have a society where there's many egos, a lack of dependence on Krishna, people thinking that this dependence on my capability, that's when we start to have problems. You know, I'm very materially management qualified. You know, I can be a better temple president or temple commander or Sankirtan leader. That is the ego. Prabhupada says, you know, when you all throw the stone in the same spot, the ripples come out and the wavelengths regenerate and you get bigger waves. But you throw it in different spots, then there's conflict. So, yeah, we should always depend on Krishna in anything. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.